I think we established one thing today, which is that reasonable minds can differ, at least on the application of some of these concepts. And based on that, I'm going to move that we establish the assumed inflation rate at 2.75% and the assumed investment return at 7%, and defer the GASB discussion with respect to how to handle the administrative expense load, because I don't want to cloud the motion with that discussion, because I think it's a little more difficult, it's more nuanced. I did read the material several times. I think I understand it. I did learn some things here today. But my motion is to establish 2.75 as the assumed inflation rate and the assumed investment return at 7% and defer the GASB discussion.
I'll second that.
If I may ask on the motion, would we then, as part of today's meeting, then proceed to the explicit administrative, or do you think we defer that to a later meeting?
I mean, I don't have a preference to delay it to a later meeting. I just want the motion to be independent of that, because it has so much policy inflection.
Sure.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Discussion. Jerry.
Yeah. Raising, lowering the assumption rate, increases the amount that the employer and the employee are going to have to pay for the benefit. And when we were here 3 years ago doing this, we were looking at 7.5, and it went to 7.25, and it appears that over the past 3 years, that has been the right choice. And we have an actuary that is hired to give us their best estimate. And their best estimate is 7.25. We have had that actuary audited in the past to make sure our numbers are the numbers that he presents to us, or what he recommends to us is within the ballpark. I think that the 7.25 is within the ballpark. I think it's not going to hurt our employers, it's not going to hurt our employees, and it's going to keep our benefits sound, and I think the system will continue. If for some reason everything falls out, we can do this again in 3 years. And that's the purpose of it, every 3 years. So, I'm speaking against the motion for two reasons. One, the increase to the employer, the increase to the employee. And the second reason is we seem to be going in the right direction. And our asset allocation study, what we've done with our asset allocation study, going more conservatively and looking at having a set amount of money set aside so that if something happens, the benefits will still be there to distribute, it includes this 7.25. I mean, he included that when he made this estimate. So for those reasons, I'm speaking against the motion.
Paul, thank you for this presentation. Reading all the materials, I'm of Scott's mind that reasonable people can look at facts and come up to a different conclusion. I think because dropping it 50 basis points is two clicks of the dial, I'm more comfortable, like Jerry said, clicking it once, and we're going to do this again in three years. So based on that, I'm going to make a substitute motion that we follow option A with the recommended for both funding and financial reporting, slide 25 of the handout materials, which sets the inflation rate at 3% and the assumed investment return at 7.25%.
I'll second that.
Okay, discussion on the substitute motion. Deb.
So, as the person who seconded the first motion, I will oppose the substitute motion. And I've made a couple of these comments throughout, but I'm still there are some conceptual issues I have here with respect to, you know, portfolio that would produce a higher rate of return and yet a lower risk. Our education at Wharton typically advises us differently. But assuming even if we can do that, with respect to the inflation, it seems like we're not being consistent in how we approach this. We are taking investment advisors' recommendation, including even our own Verus, along with eight others or seven others, and we're going with their projection of what our new portfolio that has not yet been implemented will produce over a long period of time, and yet we're not taking their recommendation with respect to what their assumed rate of inflation is. And if I heard Mr. Angelo correctly, he started with total return numbers of these investment advisors and then reduced those numbers by their expected inflation rate that's built into those numbers. So essentially what we've done is we started with the investment consultant's numbers, we've reduced it by the investment consultant's rate of inflation, and then we've added in a different rate of inflation at 3% when the investment consultants are saying somewhere between 2.1 and 2.45. So I believe that a further reduction in the inflation rate to 2.75 is the right approach. I'm also concerned that we in this risk adjustment in that it keeps going down. I had the same thoughts 3 years ago when we did this exercise with a 53% confidence level. Still would not be enough for my liking. But I think just generally, we need to continue. We made a good decision 3 years ago in dropping the assumed rate of return by 50 basis points. And that's proven out for us. We are seeing our unfunded liability come down. We're contribution rates went up. We're seeing we have seen a return to getting close to where we want to be in terms of the funding of the system overall. But we need to continue on that path. We need to continue to make more realistic assumptions for the future. And so for that reason, I will oppose the substitute motion.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm going to speak in opposition to Todd's substitute motion. You know, when I got up today thinking about this, as I'm sure we all have been doing the last few days and certainly this morning, and subject to hearing the presentation, although having read the materials several times, I thought, you know, ultimately we're stewards of the system. We are the stewards of this system, and the objective is for us to have a healthy, vibrant plan that continues to make investment income and pay the benefits that we've obligated ourselves to do. And to me, I think apropos of what Debbie Allen just said, is that we've actually headed the right direction. I think it was said earlier, Paul, you may have said it, California's a leader. Well, and I like to think that in California, right here,
and we are leaders.
I've come to learn this board is a leader.
Right.
And it's had its share of controversy. It's had its share of the issues. It's certainly had its share of the litigation, pending and ongoing. And it is what it is. But this is where the policy is getting made. And it just seems to me that, you know, the data doesn't lie. We can differ about shades of it, degrees of it, but the trends and the forecasts are very consistent that inflation, in my judgment, is not long-term 3%. It sounds like 2.75% from all the data that we've absorbed, including the data in this report, and that the assumed investment rate of return is trending and forecasted to be lower than the 7.25%. So, And other systems have actually already taken that step. But I think for the prudence of the system, for the health of the system, we've gone the right direction. And this is the decision that we should make because we are the leaders. We are the ones who've had the foresight to make the prudent choices. Again, it's about the health of the system. It's about the ability to pay benefits, because that's the business we're in. We're here to make money and pay benefits to the members and retirees. And we have to have a healthy, prudent system to do that. There are myriad examples all over the United States of systems that are dysfunctional, screwed up, bankrupt, all of the above. We're not one of them, fortunately. So, I with all respect to Todd, I would oppose the substitute motion. Anyway,
Will.
Said enough.
So, the actuary who we hire, who's a professional who does this all the time, has said that their firm has not gone below 3% on the CPI. Scott, to your point, or Deborah's point, also about choosing the 2.7 from the Social Security Administration's forecast on the CPI, you might as well choose an arbitrary number of using 5.67 for Verisk's return estimate, which we're not using. We're going with the actuary on that, on the return, because they're taking the consistent metric of broad base of experience from doing the survey of 8 different investment consultants to figure all this out to get the most accurate number that they believe is true. So other little kind of bullet points is the there's only one system in PERS that's 7%, or I'm sorry, in 1937 Act systems, which is Fresno. Everyone's clustering around 7.25 and 7.5. So, you know, Scott, you mentioned we're fiduciaries here to make sure we have a healthy system, and I believe we do. We have a fiscally responsible system. Our actuary was audited not 5 years ago, but I believe it was like last year. Last year, a year and a half ago, where Milliman came in and presented their findings on the actuary. And Scott, you in fact asked the actuary in the presentation, saying, what if we go to 7%? And he said, no, I wouldn't recommend that. He said, if anything, I would raise it. He's like, you're fiscally responsible. So that is in history, but, you know, having another actuarial firm audit ours and finding that, I support the substitute motion and I'm opposed to the first motion.
Candace.
And this is where my two hats come into play. Sitting here in the fiduciary responsibility that I have to Sisera, I have to support the original motion. I am very concerned when I look at the numbers that we're relying upon. And again, I had Lisa come look over the numbers for me, Lisa Driscoll, who I rely on heavily, and she said, no, you know, it's a very sound analysis that's brought forward. Nevertheless, listening to the discussion, I would need to support the first motion. From my county supervisor hat, you know, we're talking about a $30 million or so dollar hit, and that's where the policy, how you implement it, comes in. But based upon what I'm doing here sitting this chair, I would have to support the original motion.
Any further?
Just one thing is, you know, as fiduciaries, I'm not for just, you know, increasing it because of a belief, a feeling, or whatever. I'd rather go with a professional who's done a tremendous amount of research into not only our system but other systems and looking at other things across the country. And yes, this would increase the cost to the employer and the employee, but I think it's unnecessary based off what our professional that we hire, that we go to. I think it's unnecessarily decreasing the assumption rate.
I just want to say that I would also support the original motion. I have a concern on the portfolio real rate of return 5.19. I think based on, you know, the trend of the market, it's just a little bit higher than what we have been hearing. So for that reason, I really believe 7.7% probably is more attainable than 7.25.
Okay. With that, Paul.
I want to present a data point, and it's only a data point. I don't want this to come up later and think, well, you should have told us earlier. You've been doing a very, very good job of not indulging in results-based assumption setting. I noticed we had a slide on the cost impact that we didn't get to, and that's fine with me. I do want you to know that in June, when we do the demographic assumption review, it is a near certainty that we will be recommending a longer mortality table. perhaps substantially longer, possibly going to what's called generational mortality, that will have a cost increasing impact on the employers based on the demographic assumptions. I'm not saying that these should be linked together. At the same time, I just don't want to come back in June and have someone say, gee, I wish I'd known that back then. So we don't have the analysis done, but we're close. And so just, you know, there will be another assumption-based cost, another assumption-based recommendation that will increase cost in June of this year, and that will affect the same valuation. Those are separate decisions, but yes. I, again, just as a data point.
Fully anticipate the change, have anticipated it. I think those of us who go to conferences
Thank you.
And educational opportunities have heard that warning issued loud and clear. So I've assumed all along, I think most of us, all of us have, that
okay.
that was going to be an issue. Last thing I would say, really in response to Will, is we have a lot of professionals that advise us. We have legal professionals, investment professionals, actuarial professionals, auditors. And in every case, I respect the work they do. I respect their judgments, the experience, the years of experience that goes into it. As I get older, I really value that more. But at the end of the day, those are all inputs to us. The decisions happen here, and there's no delegation to any particular consultant or function on a decision. We get recommendations, and today's was a recommendation, a thoroughly supported recommendation, but with a lot of variation, I think, in the data that led me to a different conclusion. So I greatly respect all of these consultants, including Siegel, but at the end of the day, I think we make that decision and can't defer to that expertise in any given instance, because I think at that point we're sort of delegating our responsibility outside. So,
Debbie.
I just want to follow up on what I mentioned before, and I agree with Scott. We do have a myriad of consultants and a lot of different points of information that come at us. And thank you, Mr. Angelo, for what is always a very thorough explanation of very complicated topics. But I do want to just clarify what I was saying before is, you know, if we were to take the Verus investment return projection before the 2.1% inflation rate was removed from it, their projection is at 7.77. The eight advisors are at 7.64. And then we reduce that by the expenses and the risk adjustment, we are actually below 7% in that calculation. So I really believe that the first motion is appropriate, and I believe that the overall health of the system for the very long term is dependent upon us continuing to make good decisions like this.
Herbie.
Yeah, thank you. I want to ask you to focus on one other thing that is within your purview, because I take no exception whatsoever to anything that Paul has presented in terms of the methodology and the assumptions, but I'd like you to do what you need to do in terms of the risk adjustment that you're comfortable with and focus on that for a moment. One of the things that is not evident from the button, CIBE, is, Paul would agree with me on this, there's a very important factor called timing. Time, because we depend on both contributions and the investment earnings to be compounding over time. And the risk adjustment is a factor that says, how comfortable am I as a trustee that I'm going to make this bogey and that I'm setting the 7.25 or whatever it is? And am I more comfortable building in some cushion if I miss it? Is it more painful to miss it than it is to beat it? So that's really what the risk adjustment is. Confidence level, all those things, to me, doesn't seem to be really what we're talking about. What we're talking about is taking what we think inflation will be, the rate of return, and then stepping back and saying, do I want to build in a bit of a cushion? Because if I miss it, it's really painful, or more painful than if I beat it. And what that means in this situation is that if we have the opportunity to bring contributions in sooner than later, and not if we miss, we create an unfunded liability that then sits on the system for a long time. What else we miss is we miss the compounding effect of contributions coming in sooner than later and building that I, that investment earnings that we need to pay 60-70% of the benefits over time. So what I would ask you to do as fiduciaries is talk amongst yourselves about what your comfort level is for that cartilage, if you will, that level that you want to step back and say, you know what, I'd like a little bit of an adjustment in here. Look at 19 basis points and say to yourself, that is or that is not, in my mind, a sufficient cushion that if I miss the bogey, as we have for the last couple of years, and the money then comes in only because we have to increase the burden on the county and the other districts due to the unfunded liability, and the money comes in a whole lot later, we don't get the compounding effect of it. What's my tolerance for risk of not hitting our bogey in the next year, the next 2 years, the next 3 years? That's what I would encourage you to have a bit of a conversation on before you vote on the motion, to see where the board is on that issue. I think that's a very important part of this. And to me, risk adjustment is not a plug number. Risk adjustment is we've set our bogey. Our best intelligence from actuaries, investment professionals, the market, whatever, says that's a good bogey to have. How comfortable am I if we miss it and face the consequences? And the other thing I'll say is this. We've had a little bit of conversation, a little bit of presaging of what may be coming down in contribution rates. A couple of years ago, we were worried about the hit on the county and our other plan sponsors. This county, I think, supervisor can educate us on it. I think this county is out of the woods. I think it's easier now for the county to put money into the system than it has been in a few years back. I think real property revenues are increasing. Is it better to build in a bit of a risk adjustment now and bring a little bit more money in when it's easier for the county to do it, to get the compounded effect of that money coming into the system, instead of having to go to the well 3 years or 4 years from now, when the real estate cycle does what it always does, and it's a little tougher on the county's revenues to bring that money in. So those are things I'd like you to talk about before taking a vote about what this risk adjustment factor means in reality to the board. Thanks.
Paul.
Okay, well, we do not agree with council's interpretation.
No, I understand.
First of all, you have to look at both the risk adjustment and the confidence level. To look at this number in absolute terms, you know, ignores the way that it affects risk. All portfolios are not equal. And so the standard deviation of the portfolio, however that number is determined, is a key factor. So that is exactly why we translate this into the confidence level. It would be a mistake to focus only on the absolute level of the risk adjustment. Second is, I think council misunderstands the substitute motion. Substitute motion is this,
mm-hmm. right.
which would increase the risk adjustment to 30 basis points. So the idea that the substitute motion is somehow going to leave it to 19 points is not true.
Well, I guess for purposes of trying to address the comments I've heard, I mean, to me, as I've looked at what we've heard today, what we've read, and what my original motion is that was seconded and is on the table, is I've taken the risk factor into account. That is, I have appreciated the discussion about what the risk adjustment is or isn't. And in my motion to establish 2.75 and 7.0 respectively for inflation and the assumed investment return. I've taken into account for purposes of evaluating the data and the information, the risk inherent in each and whether or not I feel comfortable with where the system is left at 7% and 2.75%. So just to get it out on the table, I've taken those things into account. I don't have much more to say about it, but in making the motion, I've taken it into account.
I think we're at a point where we need to call for the question. My sense is that we have a fairly good view as a group about each of our views on risk, particularly with respect to 2.75 versus 3 and ultimately bottom line 7.25 versus 7. The substitute motion is to adopt the one shown at assumed inflation of 3% and a 7.25% discount rate. If voting yes on that means that substitutes itself in front of the motion that Scott made and Debbie seconded, where it would be 2.75 and 7. So let me ask for all those in favor of the substitute motion to indicate by raising their hands and saying aye.
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 Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you. For that, all opposed?
No.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So the substitute motion fails. At this point, we have the original motion, which is 2.75 and 7. Do we need any additional discussion on that?
Yeah, let me just clarify. The original motion also is exclusive of the issue of the administrative expense issue.
Yes.
Okay.
So it is essentially discounted so far, right?
Okay. All those in favor of the original?
You can cross this out and cross this out and cross this out. Yeah, then it's
the same.
Other
than that.
On that call.
Now that it's completely clear.
So do you want to repeat the motion, Scott?
You want to repeat the motion?
Yeah, the motion is to establish 2.75% as the assumed rate of inflation and 7.0% as the assumed investment return, and to exclude from the motion the issue of administrative expense load as a separate item, whether today or at another meeting. That's the motion.
Okay, and
it's been seconded.
You can accept that. All in favor of the original motion indicate by saying aye and raising their hands.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. 5 voted yay. Opposed?
No.
4 opposed. The original motion passes. I have no problem with taking another few minutes, and hopefully it's a few minutes, on the administrative expense load. Okay. I'd like to make a motion on that.
I think I'll let someone else take a stab at it.
I'd like to make a motion to move that to a future agenda item for a little deeper analysis of numbers and what that does and how to handle that issue.
Might that be at the June presentation where we talk about demographics?
Second that, too. It's one of those where I could go either way right yes. now, but on the other hand, I would even enjoy having some staff input from CICERA as well as to their thoughts on, you know, end of the day, I want it to remain the same. I don't see a strong benefit to switch right now, so let's continue it until that's...
Okay.
And, Mr. Chairman, that would give us the opportunity. We would take the motion that was just adopted and redo these slides. So we'd have A and B, but the new A and B would both be with the 7%, 2.75, so you could see it.
You're still going to see this 19 go up to 30, but you'll have it with the other numbers.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, indicate by saying aye.
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 No.
Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. This is probably a great time for a break. Let's be back at 1:45.